especially at inland spots. The high 54. Then the entire area will get occasional rain tonight and tomorrow. Low tonight, 41 inland, 47 lakeside. Temperatures holding pretty much in the 40s a good part of the day tomorrow, perhaps reaching 52 lakeside late. And for Thursday, mostly cloudy, high 52. I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, AM 1400 WRJM.
Thank you, EA. We've got sunny skies predominating throughout the region. It's 45 in Kenosha, 35 at the Municipal Airport in Burlington, 45 at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport, and at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine, it is 44 degrees. The wind is out of the north. At 5 miles an hour, the dew point is at 37. Relative humidity, 76%, and the barometric pressure is rising at 30.46. It is 10 minutes after 9 o'clock, and good morning. It's a beautiful day in Wisconsin for a tremendous Tuesday, October 25th, 2016, the only 10-25 2016 in the history of humanity. Let us choose on purpose, with a purpose, to give a great day.
Muscle, the Chicago Cubs are on their way. No doubt about it, the Cubs are on their way. The Cubs are gonna hit today, they're gonna field today, they're gonna pitch today. Come what may, the Cubs are gonna win today. No doubt about it, the Cubs are on their way. We've got the hustle, we've got the muscle, the Chicago Cubs are on their way.
Hey, hey, holy mackerel, no doubt about it, the Cubs are on their way. The Cubs are gonna hit today, they're gonna pitch today, they're gonna field today. Come what may, the Cubs are gonna win today.
Chicago Cubs are on their way. The Chicago Cubs are on their way.
Greetings, you beautiful humans. It's 12 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, psyched package. Glenn Klein, it is a tremendous Tuesday morning, and he is the baseball analyst for Fox Sports. Please welcome back to WRJN our brother from another mother, Mr. Orestes Destrada. Oh!
Wow, I love the song. I love the excitement that's obviously deservedly brewing and building and has been built, Glenn, for some time now. I think it started back in, I think, February, actually, this excitement. So now it's culminating in a World Series appearance after, what, 71 years? This is awesome, man. I think, Glenn, this is the most exciting combination of two teams in the World Series that I can remember in quite a while. So it should be fun, and hopefully it'll be great games, well played, and kind of I'm hoping for tight games. Even though I know you want your Cubbies to take this and probably win four straight and be done with it, I'm looking forward to great baseball.
Well, I'm headed to the friendly confines at Wrigley Field Saturday night, which is game four. So if something ridiculous happens and the Cubs sweep in Ohio and then come back and win game
you'll
three.
Be sitting right there, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those tickets are what, like $40,000, for half a seat or something like that, I believe it is what I saw.
I had to take out a second mortgage on the gingerbread house. No, actually, I know a guy.
Listen, it's awesome, and you know, it's nice that the Rays are in the World Series. Wait a second, wait. It's the Cubs, right? Not the Rays.
It might have been in the Rays if they were to been smart enough to re-sign JoJo Ma.
the Joe Magic, Davey Martinez, Ben Zobrist. What else? Who else came through there from the Rays this year? And then on the flip side, you got Brandon Guyer, who played a big part in our team the last couple of years and got traded at the deadline in July, and he's been very, very good. You'll see him, you know, against the lefties. Definitely, you'll see him against your boy Lester. So it should be a fun series.
He's Orestes Estrada. He was the original community relations director for the then Tampa Bay Devil Rays. And we met each other at a father-son banquet at the Presbyterian Church in St. Pete before even the Rays had opening day. And so we have been compadres ever since. And you've gone through the history with Joe Maddon, and he has also a history with Terry Francona, the future Hall of Fame manager of the Indians. There's a lot of respect there, but there's also no love lost between those two guys.
No, there isn't, and obviously, you know, you're talking about managers that also went head to head, you know, when Tito Francona was with the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, that's why.
We were so a lot of contentious, you know, in season games, also some tricky ones back in 13, you know, during that playoffs when the Red Sox went on and won their third championship. In the last since 2004. So I think there's a lot of respect, but there's no doubt, no love loss, and nothing, you know, greater for Joe than to put it to Tito one time here, you know, for real.
You talked about the historic nature of this World Series, but listen to this. This is what's happened since 1908 and in 1908. In 1908, Major League Baseball was played only in 10 cities, 11 if you count Brooklyn, which had only been a part of New York for a decade, across 7 states and the nation's capital. The St. Louis Browns and Cardinals were as far west as the leagues went, and you got there by train. Addison and Waveland were home to a seminary, which is now, of course, the home of the Chicago Cubs Wrigley Field. Roger Connor held the career home run record with 136. Ned Williamson's 27 remained the single season high for home runs. The Federal League had not yet been dreamed up of. The Negro Leagues were not yet organized. The first expansion team was 52 years away. There was no designated hitter, no save statistic, and no free agency. Every player was either white or close enough to pretend to be white. The Titanic had not been sunk yet. Indeed, the Titanic had not even been built. There was no concept of a global or world war, let alone a protracted conflict, which would use flying machines and poison gas as matters of course. Russia was collapsing after Nicholas II, Turkey was controlled by the Ottomans, and a week before the series in 2008, the Empire of Austria-Hungary officially took control of Sarajevo. The 46 United States were about to replace Theodore Roosevelt with William Taft. The Brits were ruled by Edward VII. Einstein was still working on general relativity, and both Pluto and penicillin were unknown to science. The airplane, the automobile, and the motion picture were all wondrous new frontiers, and the telephone was as old as the internet is today. The Gerontology Research Group lists 22 known human beings living today who are confirmed to have been at least 5 years old in October of 1908. All but one are female, 5 are American-born, and none lived in Illinois or Michigan. It is an effective certainty that out of the approximately 6,300 people at Detroit's Bennett Park on October 14, 1908, where the World Series was being played, none of them are still alive.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about that one, but some of those facts, man, are mind-boggling.
Think about it.
That long. Well, I mean, just, you know, a century alone, just to be able to say that over a century has passed. I mean, you know, we talk about obviously the Boston Red Sox in 86 years. You can even, you know, let's say the 68 years for Cleveland, which is quite a while. and you could throw in basketball, you know, what the Cleveland Cavaliers did, and try and finally bring a title to that town. But the reality is, you know, there is no doubt that the Cubbies, you know, hold the record, you know, for looking and wanting and needing a title, and let's hope that it's here. I want to say one thing to add to that, and that is different than even, I think, you know, the Boston Red Sox in 04 when they had that incredible run and you know, swept the Yankees to being down 3-0 and then just, you know, took over Seattle. It was almost like an afterthought when they beat up on St. Louis, which who I thought actually that year was a better team, but they hit a monster coming in so hard. I think those teams, and you would agree with me, Glenn, a team like Boston or even the Yankees, the Dodgers, there's love-hate relationships there. Sans maybe the Southsiders, who I hope, you know, are leaning towards being Cubby fans, though I think some of them are pretty stern. The United States of America are all pretty much, you know, happy with the Cubs. There's not this huge chasm of a love-hate relationship, and most people would want them to win.
You have to be a really demented, beautiful human to be a White Sox fan and not cheering for the Cubs right now. I mean, that's just...
two come to mind that are showing that they're true Chicagoans, and that is Michael Jordan, who is supporting, you know, the Cubs, and long known to be a White Sox fan, and President Obama, you know, who's come over to that side supporting his Chicago city and Illinois. So, you know, rightfully so, man. That also leads me to one other thing, and the basketball ties that were once Toronto got ousted. You know that there was three of the greatest NBA players of all time tied to those three teams, because you had Magic, obviously part owner of the Dodgers, had the Dodgers, you know, upended the Cubs. You got Michael tied forever with Chicago, and then LeBron, who, by the way, like Michael, you know, the Indians are not his number one team. The Yankees, he's an old school Yankee fan, but the Indians now obviously, you know, fall in place here, rightfully so, for the Akron, Ohio guy. So pretty interesting that the NBA season is about to start, tomorrow, and you got the two legends going head-to-head.
Well, the Indians have moved, or excuse me, the Cavaliers have moved their getting of the championship rings up till 7 o'clock so that all the Clevelanders can be focused on the baseball. Jason Kipnis, the outstanding shortstop, or no, he plays second base, right? Cleveland. He is from Glenbrook North High School in Chicago, lifelong Cubs fan, and was really torn about having to play the Cubs. A great article about Kipnis and all of his family and all of his friends, lifelong Cub fans, and now that they are being torn whether they're going to cheer for the Cubbies or the Tribe.
The parents are like, you do well, but don't win the series. Okay, Jason.
This is Glenn Klyne on WRJN's Community Conversation. We're talking with Major League Baseball analyst, former Major Leaguer, Orestes Destrada, on the Tuesday morning before the World Series starts. So the Cubs finish off the Dodgers in the eighth inning of Game 6, and they're up 5-0. And I needed to use the facility. So I went to the bathroom, and, dude, I lost it. I started bawling my eyes out because, for all practical purposes, we're in the ninth inning now, up 5-0. And I know they're bringing Haroldus Chapman in. There's no way he's going to let up 5 runs. The place is going absolutely crazy at Wrigley Field. And I'm looking at myself in the bathroom mirror, bawling my eyes out. And because I am the color analyst for life, I'm trying to figure out what in the world is going on here. Because I was obviously excited when the Rays made the World Series and the Bears won the Super Bowl and the Lightning won the Stanley Cup and the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl and all the Blackhawks won the Cup. Yes. But why the Cubs? And so I did a commentary yesterday, but then Bill Murray, upon receiving the Mark Twain Prize, was asked about it because he was seen crying. And I posted on Facebook after the game a one-line post that said, "There is crying in baseball." And I'm telling you, brother, I have never had more response to any post that I've ever had on social networking. But here's what the the lifelong Cubs fan, Bill Murray, had to say, and I think that he encapsulated it very well.
Now, obviously, the Cubs going to the World Series is a big, big deal, obviously, for you and a lot of the Cubs fans. There was a video circulating the internet yesterday of you crying at a Cubs game when they won last night, but it was from a different day or something like that.
I think I cried a little bit when Miguel Montero hit that home run. There was a feeling in between that, his hitting of the home run and the winning of it, where I just felt the whole building, the whole room just... Oh, just the relief and the sense of wonder that it was really happening. And I just felt for everyone, every Cub fan, everyone in Chicago that's been waiting, and all over the world, they've been waiting for this moment. I just thought, you know, some sort of prayer is being answered, some sort of ideal moment that people would love to have that they think would really fill their lives up. It was happening. It really is. And it's exciting. You know, if you don't know what it's like to wait your whole life for the team you root for to win, you can't explain it. I watch the people on SportsCenter trying to talk about it. They're not even close. They don't get it at all. They have no idea. They say stuff like, well, the last time they win there was before television. Well, okay, sort of. That's one little aspect. But to root for a team that never won, it's character building.
If the Cubs win the World Series, will you tell everyone what you said at the end of Lost in Translation?
Oh, I don't think anyone's going to give a damn about that. I really don't. They're going to be celebrating. Movies? No. This is much bigger than that. Much bigger.
Thank you, Mr. Murray.
Sure.
That's much bigger than movies. That was Bill Murray, lifelong Cub fan. I think what it is, about the Cubs, especially if, like Bill Murray and like myself and so many of my family and friends that have been suffering and have been there the entire existence of our lives, is that we can relate to thinking that something may never happen and wanting it to happen so desperately in our own personal lives, and then it happens. And if you've ever had an experience like that, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're experiencing as Chicago Cubs fans.
Totally. You know, there is the massive, you know, relief of being back in the World Series again. After 71 years, that's enough. I mean, that's long enough just to make it back to the World Series. And then there's this potential of winning it, which would be the other, you know, what, 37 years that we add to that, 36?
It's 108 years.
Yeah, when you add the 71 and then you go back further into 1908. But here's the thing that also adds to this, and I think it could be, you know, said of, even Cleveland Indian fans are going 68 years. Even obviously the 86 for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, but
I'm going to explain. No, hear me out.
All right.
What you have to understand too about this specific scenario is that it's all tied to a particular game, and that is baseball. That is Major League Baseball. And any way you look at it, until recently, Glenn, and when I say recently, until about the mid-80s, okay, when truly ESPN did the unthinkable in 79, really, but, you know, finally got entrenched 24/7 sports and kind of took baseball away a little bit, if not a lot of bit. You remember, baseball, it's still one of the fibers of Americana, like soccer is in Europe. Okay, so we're talking decades and families and grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-great-grandparents that, you know, not only suffered through this, but followed this great game. And it's the one game where even mom could play with the son and just flip the ball. You know, it's not basketball where it takes, you know, you can't play, you know, in the backyard and just throw the ball and play a little wiffle ball, you know, play catch. Baseball is that unique. So then you tie all that in together with the futility and the hope and the 108 years, the 71 years. I think baseball comes into the forefront also, Glenn, in the fact that it's that particular sport, that feel, so many games that people have attended, the millions and millions at Wrigley, this historic ballpark, just like it is at Fenway, you know, and some other places. I think that's where I think baseball comes in and just kind of, you know, overwhelms any other American sport. The only thing I can compare it to is soccer in Europe, because football pales to the history, pales to the history of true history of baseball and how far back it goes.
Baseball is the history of America. We've been playing baseball, beautiful humans, since the Civil frickin' War.
And
Jackie Robinson, and 20 years before the Civil Rights Movement, broke the color barrier with the Brooklyn Dodgers. But here's the difference between the Indians, the Red Sox, and the Cubbies, is that at least the Indians and the Red Sox made the World Series.
Several times.
We have not been to the World Series since just after World War II, and it was directly tied to that ridiculous curse of the Billy Goat, and now that is, as Hawk Harrelson would say, over.
Yes.
All right, so
put it on the board.
So you can put it on the board. Yes.
So what's going to happen? Right.
So what's going to happen?
The sheer futility of just getting back to the World Series is massive. And worth crying about. So I thought your one-liner is perfect, because I've cried many a time having to do with this great game that I played, both amateur and professionally, for when you combine it 30 years between being a kid at from 10 years old to almost 40. So this game, deservedly so, will make you cry. It's just so many nuances, so many different intricacies of the game. It is an acquired taste, but for towns like Chicago, no doubt, New York, the LAs, the Clevelands, they have a long, rich history, and they understand the game, respect it, and love it.
And it goes through all the seasons of the year. There's even soccer in Europe. It's not 162 games. You start baseball, they're playing in the snow, and now the leaves are changing. We play in the heat of the summer. Baseball is unique. Now, I've got the great Tom Carco with the local news coming up momentarily. Any chance? Because we haven't even previewed the World Series yet. Can you hang on for the news?
I'll hang on for you, buddy. No problem.
You are the man. That is Orestes Destrada, the Fox baseball analyst, former major leaguer. And we've got another major leaguer, the great Tom Carco, awaiting us in the news center with this WRJN news break. But first, ladies and gentlemen, let us hear from the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan.
When Paul Ryan became our congressman, he stepped to the front of the line to offer solutions to America's problems.
Get mild again, but actually it will. And that'll be at the end of this week into next week. For today, turning out cloudy, little rain later this afternoon at inland spots, high 54. Then periods of rain tonight and tomorrow, heaviest tomorrow. Low tonight, 41, inland 47, lakeside temperatures mostly in the 40s during the day tomorrow. Thursday, mostly cloudy, high 52. Then on Friday, it looks like it'll reach the 60s and could reach 60 or better both days of the weekend, with Saturday being the warmest. I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams with AccuWeather on your radio friend, AM 1400, WRJN.
With all that rain coming, might be a good idea to move the leaves away from those sewer covers. Otherwise, you could have some ponding in front of your home or business. Kenosha right now, 45 degrees. That's true. 39 in Burlington, and Milwaukee 45, 44 in Racine. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.
Hate that ponding.
It happens very quickly.
So you ready? Big game tonight.
I'm working tonight.
Not going to be watching it?
Well, if the opportunity arises, but if it doesn't, it doesn't. It's not the first time, won't be the last time.
Well, in either case, come on and sing along.
Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. They're singing, go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey, Chicago, what do you say?
The Cubs are gonna win today.
Wrigley Field. We're singing now. Go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win
what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today.
Baseball time is here again. You can catch it all on WGN. So stamp your feet and clap your hands.
Chicago Cubs got the greatest fans.
I hear them singing out.
Go Cubs, go. Go Cubs, go. What do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today.
Let's go!
Go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today.
It's a man!
To God that he was alive to see this. The late, great Steve Goodman on your radio, friend. 18 minutes until 10 o'clock on a tremendous Tuesday morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, psyched-up package. Glenn Klein, and returning to Community Conversations, please welcome back the baseball analyst for Fox Sports from beautiful Tampa Bay, Florida, Orestes Estrada. Oh.
Hey, buddy. You know, I'm going to add to your list of incredible facts of things that have happened or, you know, since 108 years ago when the Cubs won the World Series.
Yeah.
One is 5,673 games played at Wrigley Field since the 1945 World Series. That's including postseason games and three All-Star games. And I proudly would say that I played a part in quite a few of those games, so that was kind of cool. But playing at Wrigley back in the day with the Pirates and the Marlins. But 5,673 games at Wrigley since they played in the World Series in 1945.
Here is another amazing statistic. Tonight, when the Cubs take the field, and he actually will be leading off, the Cubs center fielder Dexter Fowler will be the first African-American in Chicago Cubs history to take the field in a World Series game for the Cubs.
Saw that one, too. That was pretty cool because, again, you know, you're talking about some incredible things that happened, you know, over the decades since they've appeared in the World Series. As far as getting into the X's and O's, another glaring and crazy stat is the two starters for tonight and Corey Kluber, who, you know, is a former Cy Young winner, and John Lester, also a former Cy Young winner, both had great seasons. You see how they fish in this postseason?
Mm-hmm.
Their combined ERA is .92. Two runs over 18 in the third for Kluber and only two runs given up for John Lester in 21 innings. These guys have been shut down, so it's going to be interesting who touches who first, and then, you know, it could be a battle of obviously the incredible bullpens that we're seeing from both sides. You know, Cleveland, you know, with the monsters, obviously Andrew Miller, what a pickup. Think about it. Think about this, and it's not talked about enough, and I guess it will be during this series. The Yankees play a massive role in this series. They traded Chapman and Miller, and these two guys are the shutdowns of each, you know, respective teams. So, you know, the Yankees go out, and obviously they kept their big boy 6'8" Betances. But, you know, how about that to add to what is an incredible, you know, staff of bullpen for both teams?
We talk a lot about the genius that is Joe Maddon. And a number of years ago, it was noted that John Lester, the Cubs lefty who will be going tonight, has the yips when it comes to throwing the ball to first base or to any base.
Right.
He can drill that ball perfectly down the middle of home plate, but to save his life, he can't throw the ball to first base. So he never throws over for a pickoff. And it's been amazing to me, O, that the Cubs opposition both throughout the last couple of regular seasons and certainly during this playoff run, have not been able to take advantage of that. Why is that?
Well, number one, they, you know, were very, and that's Joe and obviously Theo Epstein, you know, as he signed John Lester a few years ago, knowing that, groomed a young catcher in Montero to be ready to come up who can throw lights out. And then, you know, they brought back and have had David Ross, who has had himself an incredible postseason, you know, arguably, you know, could have been the MVP of that one series when he was just throwing guys out left and right. So you got to have great catching. You just got to have great catching and trust that if they run, which, oh, by the way, Cleveland will, they're known for not only, you know, stealing bases, but also being very aggressive on the base pass. So this is going to be an issue. This is something that Terry Francona will, he's not going to sit back on that. He knows Lester as well as anybody.
Well, what I was going to say about Maddon was he told Lester, after John did work on it two off seasons ago, he said, don't worry about it. You worry about pitching. We got the rest of it. That was
that's
genius.
That's all you can do. That's what I'm saying. You shore up the middle, which is, you know, your incredible shortstop and second baseman who can put quick tags. You saw what, you know, the kid Baez did with his tags. You got Addison Russell, and then you've got two, you know, strong arm catchers. So the catchers go out there and they say, trust, you know, us, and just throw to us. And hopefully, you know, the way that he's pitching, not too many guys are getting on base, and hopefully not the really swift guys. So it's going to be interesting. But again, I think this is going to be a series that may be dominated by how well the catchers play, and then also how well the bullpens react. You're talking about that combination of Shaw, Allen, and obviously Andrew Miller for the Tribe. And then it's, you know, Chapman, Rondon, you know, those two are the main forces for the Cubs. They're going to be seeing a lot of action. And you've already seen a playoff filled with a lot of pitching changes by everybody in the playoffs. Anybody who's seen it, and I think Joe and Tito are going to be doing the same. The moment somebody gets in trouble, you know, it's all arms come forward.
Well, of all the amazing stories that are a part of this historic World Series, one of the most remarkable is that the Cubs catcher, outfielder, Kyle Schwarber, who blew out his knee at the beginning of the season and has been in rehab the entire season, is going to be added to the roster to be the Cubs' designated hitter for the World Series. He's been in the Arizona Instructional League, and apparently number 12 is ready to go. That's incredible. What do you think about that?
I think that's massive. I think he's a kid that came out last year and showed that he's got dramatic power to all fields. He's got such a great swing. Not going to be necessary to be used defensively as a catcher, so he's going to be a guy with some of these, you know, power right-handed pitchers, especially if these first two games in Cleveland, and then if they were to go back for 6 and 7, again, the DH applies. So I think, you know, Kyle is going to be key. Interestingly, on the flip side, not a guy that you know, he that was out as long as Kyle, but did, you know, get nicked up with a forearm issue in early September, Danny Salazar, you know, sneaks into the World Series without having appeared since September 9th. And I'm telling you, he's a sleeper too, because it's going to be interesting where Trevor Bauer fits in game 2 or 3, how's his finger, you know, if you need a spot starter. This kid is something else. I know you've seen him pitch here, you know, a few times when he would come over here and just beat up on us Rays, because he has the Rays number, but he's got a lot of people's number. Salazar is something to keep an eye on, and he's been activated and has not pitched, you know, since September 9th.
This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. It is a tremendous Tuesday morning. He is the tremendous baseball analyst, Fox Sports, Orestes Estrada, former major leaguer. Okay, it's the moment of truth. Who you got?
I've got the Cubs, and I'm, you know, again, I'm pulling for them emotionally. I've always loved, you know, the city of Chicago. I had some of my best games in the major leagues at Wrigley, so I definitely fondly remember that place. But not just, you know, for the emotion of that, and also knowing, you know, Joe as well as I do, and respecting him, knowing Davey Martinez as long as I've known Davey, played against him, and he's, you know, a dear friend who lives, you know, up the road from me. The respect I have for Ben Zobrist is dramatic. So those three guys, having spent so much time with them over here, I'm pulling for them. But all that being said, one more thing, by the way. I've had two guys that I grew up with have been general managers for the Cubbies, by the way. Ed Lynch, when I was a kid, was at my high school, Columbus. So back in the day, what was it, in the 80s, he was a GM for a bit, and, you know, unfortunately didn't get the job done.
Yeah.
And then Jim Henry was my high school baseball coach and almost got the job done. So, you know, I definitely have major ties with the Cubs for a lot of reasons. But on the X's and O's as an analyst, if they can split, I think the key is going to be splitting in Cleveland. If they can win one of these two games, and, you know, honestly, when you look at it face value, Kluber is a monster, so you can think, okay, well, that might be the tough one, because game two would be Trevor Bauer, maybe Tomlin. They haven't decided which way they're going there. There's a, you know, you drop in caliber with those two compared to what Kluber's been doing. I think if you split, then you're looking really, really good to come home, the excitement, the comfort, the confines, and take at least two out of three, if not all three. It's not unfathomable. This team in the Cubs is the more well-rounded, deeper team as far as all aspects of the game, offense, defense, you know, starting pitching, bullpen. Cleveland has a little bit more speed, but it's still fairly evenly matched. I will say that. One thing that Cleveland's, you know, shown me this postseason is that they're hitting better than they really are. They've kind of stepped up. They've been a team based on speed, great pitching, great bullpen, and defense, and playing smart. But they're not really known to be, you know, mashers. But they have this postseason, anyone and everyone. So we'll see how, if that continues with this great, you know, staff of the Cubbies. But on paper, and being objective and taking everything out of the equation of my emotion, I really think the Cubs should win in five or six.
Well, I appreciate that very much. There's one thing that's for sure, is that the Indians and the Cubs are the two best teams in their respective leagues, and they're meeting for the World Series. And by the way, you predicted this matchup for this World Series. You said the Cleveland Indians would win in the AL, and that the Cubs would beat the Dodgers in the National League, and here we are. But here's my prediction. Ready?
Yes, sir.
The Cubs will sweep the Cleveland Indians, and I will be there Saturday night at the Friendly Cup.
You want that sweep game four at the game you're at, I don't blame you, and that just takes care of the book. You know what it ends up almost doing? It's almost like that, you know, 2004 when, again, 86 years for the diehard, you know, Red Sox fans to upend and surprise the Yankees. I covered every single – I did ESPN Radio for seven games versus the Yankees. I'll never forget it as long as I live because, you know, they were up 3-0. In fact, the third game, A-Rod hit the grand slam. They beat him like 18-5. Going into game four, it was like, there's no way. And they come back and do the unthinkable, the unimaginable, and that's never been done before. And then they just took over St. Louis. So hopefully that's what happens. The Cubs come in and just have you know, a lot of momentum and a lot of great baseball. And take care of business, because then you'll be a part of that. But Cleveland's not going to be easy, brother. Watch out. You know, two guys to have fun with and enjoy if you're a purist of baseball. You know, obviously Rizzo, Bryant, you know, the power guys. You mentioned Jason Kipnis. Obviously Napoli's a veteran power guy. But it's the shortstop and the second baseman. It's going to be Lindor on one side. And Baez on
Javi
the other.
Baez.
I mean, these are two of the finest baseball players right now in all the world. And they're doing it all right now. Hitting for power, playing great defense, baseball acumen, being smart, running the bases, breaking it down when they need to, Glenn, and playing small ball, you know, hitting behind a runner. It's a pleasure to watch these guys play right now.
Did you see Javi Baez? There was a pop-up in the Dodgers playoff game behind first base. Rizzo's going back. Baez had no business being over there, and he was giving Anthony Rizzo the business. And this is a playoff game. And Rizzo right. catches the ball and whips it into Bias's gut from about 3 feet away. It was really funny.
Yeah, they have a little, you know, fun with that sometimes, regardless. I mean, I love how the inning ends and Rizzo will always, like, wing it to one of his infielders as he's running in. It's really cool. And you know, there's just a lot of fun going on. And Tito Francona also, you know, kind of builds, you know, creates that. You remember what, you know, what kind of teams he had with Boston, and he let them play. So Tito's in a different way, very, very similar to Joe in how he lets his players be themselves and do kind of things that are out of the box, like, you know, letting some other old-school manager be like, you know, they'll scold Rizzo for doing that. Hey, what are you doing to my guy? Listen, they know what they're doing, and they're talented enough to get out of the way if they need to.
Well, I deserve this. I remember I was 9 years old when the Cubs finally fell out of first place to the New York Mets, the 1969 Miracle Mets. And I remember exactly where I was. I was at a driving range in Morton Grove, Illinois, listening to Vince Lloyd and Lou Boudreau on the radio. The Cubs had lost. The Mets had won. The Cubs were out of first place. And once again, I bawled my eyes out. Nothing's pretty much nothing's changed, though.
Right, no, except that you're crying for joy as opposed to crying for, you know, the demise.
What a mess.
I'm just a hot mess.
All right, well, enjoy. We really appreciate all the time and the insight. And go Cubbies.
You know it, brother. Thank you. You bello humano. That's beautiful humans in Spanish for you, all you people. So enjoy it, and I'll definitely be glued to it, and we'll talk later on this week.
But thank you. Muchas gracias.
Okay, papa.
There he goes, Orestes de Estrada, the former major leaguer and Fox Sports baseball analyst on your radio friend. This is Glenn Klein. It is a tremendous Tuesday morning. It's a couple minutes before 10 o'clock, and I need some intelligence for my life, obviously. Let's get some from John Tesh coming up momentarily.
What do you get when you add Martha Stewart, Paula Deen, and a heavy dose of Jerry Springer? A hit TV show.